Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live, but first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, and this is our church update, Doug, before the show starts.
Yeah, the church update, to tell everyone about Denver Bible Church.
Yeah, but why don't we talk about the debate instead?
Well, that's been a big part of the church for the last 2 weeks.
That's right. The whole church has been getting ready for this debate on the age of the earth.
Right, old earth versus young earth. Yeah, young earth.
We're young earth.
Young earth versus old earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so is the earth less than 10,000 years old, or is it 4.5 billion years
old? I got a question that a friend of mine asked. How many Christians do you think support the young earth creationist viewpoint?
Young earth
as creationist? As a percentage.
As a percentage of true Christians or nominal Christians?
Nominal. The entire Christian
community. Like over 1 billion worldwide?
Yeah, all the ones who answer the polls.
Yeah. Well, young earth usually polls pretty high.
Yeah,
highly.
I hope so.
You know, people who believe that God specially created us, people believe the earth is not billions of years old. When you add up all those together, you get some really high numbers.
Really?
Depending on how you do the poll.
Well, that's encouraging, and this debate will go a long way, I think, toward helping people who may be struggling with whether or not they can believe the old earth or the young earth.
I can't really guess the percents, but it's probably in the vicinity of, in America, 30%.
Okay,
40%
who believe young earth.
Yeah,
great. Because I told him I thought it was less than half, and he said, "Really, you think it's less than half?"
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, but not too far less than
because,
half.
Because you know how many United Methodists are there? There's so many
right there.
And
I mean,
they're all going to hell.
Well, I'll tell you, folks,
but
is it
a young hell or an old hell? So that's what really matters to them.
That's for another debate. Now, when I came into the studio. I came into the garage here as we're entering the bunker complex of KGov.
Yeah.
And Bob was discussing neutrinos. Oh. You were in this deep conversation about neutrinos. I couldn't understand half of what you were talking about.
Yeah, that was fun. That was with Bob Ball.
See, now that'll be the point of showing up at the debate, which is, when is the debate?
It's Saturday at 4 o'clock.
This coming Saturday, 4 p.m., where is that going to be located?
At Denver's oldest Lutheran church.
Wow.
St. John's Lutheran Church.
All right.
It's right across from Washington Park.
Oh, yeah, Washington Park. So, everybody knows where that is.
Yeah, right. At least everybody lives in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
700 South Franklin, which is, 20 blocks south of downtown Denver?
Yeah. Well, that's this Saturday. That's coming right up, isn't it?
Boy? Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And there's probably going to be a good crowd there. And I don't know what percentage of the audience will be young earth or old earth. But hopefully our side will be well represented.
Yeah, well, we'll be well represented up there on the podium at least. I know that.
Yeah, well, two and two. It'll be two against two.
Right.
And the other side has two PhDs. And we're, a Bible church pastor.
Right.
Me and a high school science teacher, Don Daly, against two PhDs, geophysicist, a CU professor.
Really?
Yeah, people are saying that the sides are not fair. It's an unlevel playing field. And we say, hey, we gave them a chance to back out, and they didn't, so tough. Yeah. They're stuck.
All right. Well, I hope everybody gets a chance to come out this Saturday, 4 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
St. John's Lutheran Church.
Lutheran Church.
Right across from Washington Park.
Yeah. And, St. John's is a Missouri Synod Lutheran.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's the more conservative Lutheran group.
Right. Those people from Missouri. They're generally more conservative.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, they... officially, they believe the earth is, the creation days were literal days.
Right.
And Martin Luther, he really slams people if they want to make them long days. They're just literal days.
Right, right.
And so this church has a group meeting at it for a long time now, a Hugh Ross group, Reasons to Believe, where they believe in the Big Bang and the earth is billions of years old.
It's the Hugh Ross group. That's right.
Yeah, the local Denver chapter.
Right.
So they're like infiltrating the Missouri Synod.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll put a stop to that this Saturday. Because, hey, if someone really believes in God and they really seek truth and they hear a debate on young earth, old earth, I would expect them to go with the evidence.
Whichever way it goes. And if people out there in the audience have questions about the age of the earth, science, whatever, call in. We'll have fun. Come visit Denver Bible Church. But first, the debate, Saturday at 4. We'll see you there. Now, stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Gets me on all the headlines you read. Don't need it service with the weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
All right, Doug, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Thanks
doing
for coming great. In. It's not even Friday night.
It's not Friday, but I had to come in and do the show with you because I have some pressing things.
Mm-hmm.
Some pressing things that I wanted to ask you about and to get off my chest.
Yeah.
And stuff that I just wanted to... By the way,
mm-hmm.
When I got the news that your son Nathaniel had been arrested in San Francisco...
Yep, protesting, trying to stop the mayor from giving out homosexual marriage
licenses. That whole thing, that he physically blocked the entrance.
Yeah.
I mean, I was jumping up and down. That is so awesome.
It was neat because, you know, you mentioned to me that you were thinking... Our church has to do something.
Right. I wish we could be doing something.
Our Denver Bible Church, we're 1,000 miles away, but we got to do something.
Yeah.
And so we've got a good contingent of the Christians who were there are members of Denver Bible Church.
Little did I know that we were doing something.
Through survivors.
Through survivors who are awesome. Just a great bunch of young people.
Keith and Jennifer Mason, who headed up. And, you know, our group has supported them pretty significantly financially. And And just moral support. And so, it was a bunch of our friends out there blocking the doors.
Yeah, I was just so just thankful that mm-hmm. we were involved. And I wanted to just let folks know that the mayor out in San Francisco, now his name is Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
And he is not a homosexual. And he made that clear today as he made the dash in front of the gauntlet of cameras on CNN from his office to his car. And there's 50 cameras set outside of his office.
Right,
so before he goes out, he makes sure that he gets a woman on his arm before he makes the little saunter there to his car, just in case any of us were starting to wonder, you know, Gavin wants us to know, yes, I'm a homo sympathizer, and not that there's anything wrong with it, but me personally, you see this attractive young woman, she's with me.
Right.
I am not a homo. Not that there's anything wrong
with it. But he's not married, is he?
Well, I don't know, but he made sure he had a relatively attractive young woman on his arm today when he walked in front of the cameras.
Yeah.
So, Bob, one of your listeners asked me earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Actually, one of your listeners asked another one of your listeners, and then I got the story related to me. A guy asked one of your listeners, what do you think of gay couples getting married?
Right.
What do you think? The guy wanted one of your listeners' opinions on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, your listener said,
all right.
Now, do you mean happy couples? Or do you mean homosexual couples? Because, you know.
That's a good start, just to clarify.
Right, just to clarify.
You got to define your term.
You got to define your
gay
term.
Gay marriage.
Gay marriage. And we don't mean happy, we mean homosexual. Yeah. All right, so.
Okay.
Listen, your listener, you have the brightest audience in the country, you know.
Well, that's been determined.
Yes, I believe we have statistical. We can send you out a report if you want one. You can call 1-800-836-9278. You can request that report, or you could talk on the program if you wanted to be on the show tonight. 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278.
So what did the listener say?
Your listener, one of your listeners, said when it comes to homosexual marriage. Now, the guy had asked for his opinion, right?
Yeah.
He said, when it comes to homosexual marriage, it's wrong whether I realize it or not.
That's an excellent
It's
answer.
Wrong whether you realize it or not. My opinion doesn't necessarily matter. But isn't that a great line? It's wrong whether I realize it or not.
Right, right.
It's just flat out wrong.
Right.
That homos are getting married.
Yeah, it's wrong. And it's not wrong because the people of California voted against it. That gets to me when Christians get their 10 seconds... airtime, their soundbite, they said the people of California voted. So what?
Yeah, right.
They vote for every other perverse thing imaginable.
No
the people
kidding.
Of California, the land of fruits and nuts, they don't know right from wrong. It's just a coincidence they voted right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Coincidence. It's like a broken clock. It was an accident that they voted it right.
And you know, Bob, you said something about, it's got to be 15 years ago now. When you were a part of the not just the pro-life movement, but Operation Rescue in particular, that if we can't draw the line at child killing, if we don't hold the line here,
then forget it.
Well, I had a conversation with another listener of yours who was taking the position that the mayor of San Francisco and all these other government officials, they're breaking the law. They're breaking the law. In the state of California, the law insists that marriage is this.
Right.
And I said, well, in California, it's legal to kill children.
Right.
So I don't know.
So that's not the big argument.
I don't know if we can count on standing by the law.
That's not the big argument. As long as we say, okay, the law in this instance happens to be right.
Right.
But not to give credit to the wicked laws we have in America where it's legal to kill children, civil unions, on and on. But all right.
I would rather just count on 6,000 years of human experience and just the natural appearance of things. It just ain't right for them homos to be coming out of the closet. Mm-hmm. That's all I got to say. They belong back in the closet where they used to be.
Well, and they do have rights, homosexuals.
They do. Yeah, I agree.
They have the right to a fair and speedy trial.
Exactly.
And that's we've always maintained that.
Yeah.
That's been for 3,500 years.
That's right.
And it's only changed in the last 40 years with Hillary, the homosexuals, Hollywood, and the humanists.
All those guys.
Yeah, and the Christian leaders who have said homosexuality should now be legal.
Right.
That's a little weird why the Christians have joined with Hillary in Hollywood.
Well, if you wanted to be invited to the right parties, you have to give on certain issues.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. But fortunately, you and I are not going to be invited to any of Hillary's parties.
No.
Or any of the above-mentioned humanists, Hollywood. We're not going to any of their parties.
No.
In fact,
Christian leaders aren't going to invite us either.
When Bob was in the green room preparing for Politically Incorrect, every other cast member stuck to the other end of the room like Bob had some kind of infectious disease.
Yeah, right.
And Bob was, if I remember correctly, that gave you a warm feeling inside.
Yeah.
To know that those type of people they found you revolting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
All right, so we've got some callers at 800-8-NYART.
Okay.
And so why don't we get to the first caller here in Aurora. Dan, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. Listen, have you been following this Is America Babylon the Great controversy?
Well, over the last...
There's all kinds of good websites on it.
Over the last 30 years, occasionally.
Oh, okay. What? I thought it was something new.
No, it's not new at all.
What, Babylon? Miss
is America Babylon the Great? You know.
Oh, is America? I thought he said Babylon and Miss America.
Over 30 years, Babylon is either the Roman Empire, the reconstituted Roman Empire,
right,
or it's the Roman Catholic Church, or it's the United Nations.
Well, spiritual Babylon, Revelation 17, that's the Catholic Church.
Or it's the United States or whatever.
I thought it was the Federal Reserve.
And some people, whatever. But, you know, we could debate till the cows come home, but I do believe that Babylon in the book of Revelation is very similar to Babylon in the Old Testament with Nimrod, and it's a world system that's organized to oppose God. It's the religious, economic, social, political system that's in rebellion against God. So if you want to define it as any one entity, I tend to think that's too narrow, but hold on. You can make your argument right after this.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty, and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
All right, Doug, live commercial breaks here. Let's go through some of these events. The Passion, we'll be seeing that as a church.
Yeah, March 7th.
March 7th, Sunday night, coming out with Denver Bible Church.
Oh, that's right. It's replacing. It's not replacing, but at Bible study, we're going
to
go.
Yeah.
Check out the movie.
So we meet at church and go as a group, and afterward go for coffee.
And the crowds will have either tapered off by then, or they'll just be massive.
I think it'll still be massive. Yeah. Turkey, we're going to Turkey The country of Turkey.
The country of Turkey.
May 26th for 17 nights. Quite
right,
a trip.
And that's where Paul spent an awful lot of time in all three of his missionary journeys.
All four.
All four, even.
Probably the only country he went to all four trips.
All four.
And it's a key country for understanding the story of the Bible. We're going to have a great time if you'd like to come out to that. And then the debate this Saturday at 4 o'clock.
Right.
At St. John's Lutheran Church.
Right across from Wash Park.
Yeah.
And then there's the telethon.
The telethon.
The telethon continues.
Life.
Folks, we know we had the telethon during the shortest month of the year, but you got to step up now. It's time.
I know. What have we at so far? We had a goal of $4,000.
Right.
And what have we got so far?
$2,800.
$2,800.
Right.
That's, you know, we're close to $3,000.
Right. But February is rapidly drawing to a close.
It is. Maybe somebody could help us boost us to $3,000.
Yeah, call 800-836-9278.
And our goal of $1,000 in monthly pledges, we're at $255.
Call and help, folks.
So even a $45 a month pledge would get to $300. That would help.
So, Bob, you had mentioned the Passion.
Yeah.
The Passion of the Christ.
Right, and we'll get to Dan in a second here, but yeah.
It's on Bobby Labonte's NASCAR, by the way, The Passion of the Christ.
That's
all over.
Right.
It's really good, nice graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, for the next 2 weeks,
right,
the media, ABC, NBC, Tom Brokaw, all those guys, they're going to have to discuss a name. Jesus Christ,
right,
that they normally only use in private as a curse.
As a curse, right.
Right, a curse word, you know, when they when they drop their
blaspheme
folder on the ground or they can't get a parking spot, that's the only time they talk about Jesus.
Right.
Right? And publicly they talk about him sometimes, but usually it's just to mock this idea of a risen Savior and the head of the Christian church. They use it only in a mocking tone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be forced to actually seriously discuss, and I think most of them will be forced to go and watch the movie. Because as a liberal, you've got to do what everybody's doing.
Right.
You just got to do it. It's a big thing. This is like Lord of the Rings big. You know, this is big, like Star Wars, the first generation.
Well, no movie has ever sold out in advance like this, ever.
Right.
Theater chains have said if no one comes to the movie, they have already made a fortune.
Wow.
A fortune, if no one comes because of pre-sold seats. Entire theaters are sold out.
So Jesus Christ is a hit. He's a hit.
In 2004.
In 2004.
2,000 years after his birth.
Right. 2,000 years after his birth, we can't stop discussing it, talking about it.
Right.
Mel Gibson feels the biggest actor possibly, you know, the biggest grossing actor of our generation feels compelled to make a movie dedicated to to the Passion of Jesus
and
Christ.
And from everything I've heard, it's obviously a great movie. You know, there's some small criticisms people offer.
Yeah.
But it's a great movie, and it's going to be one that is going to bring us face-to-face with the sacrifice that Christ went through. And actually, this is only the sacrifice he went through in his physical body.
Right.
Because the real torment he went through was the separation from his Father. And so to some extent, how will the movie try to portray that, I don't know. But that's the real torment that he went through.
Yeah.
And the physical torment just begins to point us toward that. Let's go back to Aurora. And Dan, so you brought up the Revelation topic of Babylon the Great.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think it's also in Jeremiah 50 and a bunch of other places. But here's the point that I'm sort of fooling around with the idea that maybe we are, and I'll tell you why. Because if you believe that Israel will be attacked in the near future by Russia, Northern Europe, and a whole bunch of Arab nations, that is, these countries will attempt the attack, okay? I'm not saying it will be successful. But the fact that they're attempting it means one thing. America somehow, some way, was whacked out of the picture.
So you think
they wouldn't dare try it with America. I mean, look at how powerful we are right now.
Right. But there's absolutely nothing conceivable in current events that can lead us there. So if that ever happened, it would be a sheer unpredictable fluke from where we're at right now.
Okay, I don't know. Russia's been testing some very advanced rockets, and they got very quiet.
Hey, Dan, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Do you believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
That he'll save your soul?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because then we can go about talking about issues like this.
These are more like in-house issues.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Russia, they're bragging that they're going to be able to build missiles that could get around our shield. We don't even have a shield yet. They have the missiles yet. They hardly have enough money to pay the electric bill for their scientists to design the missiles.
You want to
so
know
perhaps
something?
They can or cannot build them. But even if they can, Russia is a mere shadow of its former self. They're broke. They're in political turmoil. Putin today fired his foreign minister, the whole government. He fired everybody.
Yeah, I mean, he's an ex-KGB strong guy. See, that's kind of
That's true. But they don't have they've divested themselves unintentionally of all their satellite states.
Yeah.
So now they're broke and they're trying to feed themselves and they're in utter collapse and misery. And Putin has to say that to get reelected. We're going to become the nuclear dominant force in the world again. But, you know, Russia is a has-been state.
Yeah.
And I hope in 5 years, my prayer for them is that they're able to feed themselves.
Yeah, how about that?
But I'm not afraid of Russia.
No, did you?
And
did
China
you
has nukes. They have, what, 14 of them?
Oh, no, I think they got more than that.
We got 3,000 or however many we got.
Yeah, and China's too busy making shoes to go nuking their main customer.
Okay, well,
come on.
But anyway, I'm not worried about being attacked by China or Russia, but I think our government should weigh the concerns very carefully and deal with them at, you know, a proper level. But am I actually concerned? Way more concerned in the 60s and 70s than I am today.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm going to probably try and get to the age of the Earth thing. That sounds pretty interesting.
All right, good, Dan. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Well, hey, Dan, do you want to hear my take on Babylon the Great?
Sure.
Okay, I think that if Jesus chose to return at just about any time in history, there would be a government established and in power on Earth that he could point to and say, this is what I was talking about.
Say, there it is.
It's been here the whole time.
Because for the last 2,000 years, even when the New Testament was being written, the apostles believed that his return could have been imminent. He could have come at any moment. That's what they believed.
Right.
In fact, that's why they sold their homes and their lands. I don't know if you remember that, Dan, in the book of Acts, they sold everything.
Yeah, they were living almost a communal existence.
Yeah, they were living like communists, and the reason
they were
was
socialists. Yeah,
yeah. Well, communists.
Yeah,
they
held like a
everything in common.
Right.
They held everything in common. Whoever had more gave to those who had less.
Right.
And well, through the central budget.
Yeah.
Through the collection plate, and so, but the reason they did that was because they believed Christ was coming back then. That's
okay. Yeah. Well,
believed.
That's so that's the reason that they were sort of like doing it that way.
That is the only reason why they were doing it. And in that context, that's a good plan.
Yeah.
If you believe he's coming back within 7 years or so, then forget your long-term mortgage, forget your business investment, put everything you have into short-term ministry and survival.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at your conference Saturday, I can't wait to ask one of the scientists about it. Have you heard the thing where physicists today think that maybe the speed of light has been slowing down over the years? Like at the point of creation, they think that it was very much faster than what it is today.
Okay. Well, there's a couple things to that. For one, mainstream Big Bang cosmologists don't think that, but it's the creationists who are promoting that idea. And the radical cosmologists, those who are maybe atheists, but they're rebelling against the Big Bang.
Right.
And against relativity to some extent. And they're the ones who are pointing to a lot of data showing that there's pretty significant evidence that the speed of light has been slowing down.
Well,
since
relativity is a well-proven thing, but I think a lot of people forget
well,
that
some aspects
it only applies to inertial-type translations through space, that is, things that have mass. If you, like, have a massless particle, relativity doesn't really – I don't think relativity really comes into play at all.
Well, I don't know about that. There's so many – relativity is a broad aspect, special general relativity. And the question of the speed of light slowing down is very controversial. The vast majority of physicists reject it, but I think there may be something to it because of the evidence, the measurements.
Well, no, I'll tell you why I think it could be slowing down. There's
yeah.
somewhere in the Bible, I forgot the verse, where it says that God actually stretches the fabric of space-time or something like that. Well, if that is the case, then that means that light could actually slow down if you're measuring it, whatever kind of fabric of space-time was created.
Well, 11 times the Bible says that God stretched out the heavens.
11 times?
Yeah, over and over and over from 5 different authors in the Bible, God stretched out the heavens. And praise the Lord, because that model, there's the Big Bang model where it was an explosion.
Yeah.
The Big Bang model fails at the broadest levels, like galaxies. Why are they as they are? Why do they form bubbles and walls and filaments or strings? The galaxies like that shouldn't form from an explosion. And why is the temperature this steady 2.7 degrees Kelvin? It's steady everywhere we look. The universe isn't long enough to reach an average temperature everywhere.
Oh, interesting.
And so anyway, but you bring up a fascinating topic, Stan. Thank you.
Thank you.
God
you
bless
got, you.
You
guys should definitely continue that discussion this coming Saturday at the debate, the Young Earth, Old Earth debate at St. John's Lutheran right across from Wash Park, Saturday, 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. for our Denver audience. You'll want to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. 1-800-8-N-YARD. 1-800-836-9278.
Yeah, if you want to call in. Now, back to the Passion of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch 60 Minutes this week? Of course you didn't, right? You didn't watch.
I've never watched 60 Minutes.
I haven't watched
it. I don't even know what station, what
network.
When I was a kid,
my father watched 60 Minutes.
He did?
Every week, like religion.
Why?
And well,
I guess a lot of people did.
He was a masochist, I think, because at one point in 1979, during an episode of 60 Minutes, he threw the TV out the sliding glass door onto the concrete patio. Now, and I think he may have stopped watching at that point.
Yeah. Now, your dad is to the right. He makes Attila the Hun look like a liberal.
He's a fairly conservative guy. But you know what? Who knew back then in 78 we only had 3-4 channels and you took what news you could get and sometimes you just threw the TV out the window.
Right. I've done that, but not out the window. I put it in a closet backwards.
Yeah.
Unplugged, piled with boxes.
Really?
Over it. And it sat there for years.
Really?
Yeah, 2 years in that house. And then Cheryl and I went for years, 5 years without a TV.
Yeah, I think I went from eighth grade till my junior year in high school with no television in the house.
Yeah.
Thanks in part to 60 Minutes.
All right, so what did they say later?
Well, this guy on 60
Andy
Minutes,
Rooney.
He has annoyed me.
I know what you're going to
say. This guy is an old hack with no real talent. He called Mel Gibson a nutcase and a wacko on 60 Minutes.
Right.
This past week or 2 weeks ago, I don't know. But what's up with this guy?
Well, I mean, that was only equal time since the week before he called a well-known Muslim a nutcase. And so since he calls Muslims nutcases, equal time.
I don't remember Andy Rooney ever calling any Muslim a nutcase.
Oh.
I don't even think.
He didn't?
No. I don't know if he discussed the hijackers.
I guess you're right.
Or if he even brought it up.
I guess you're right. He would never call a Muslim a nutcase.
Yeah. No, I don't
think
so.
For his faith.
No, nobody on CBS would ever do that.
No.
They're very tolerant over there. All right, the number to call is 800-836-9278. 1-800-8-NYARD if you want to be on the program. So, Bob, Andy Rooney did this shtick. He was interviewing God. And God said about Mel Gibson, Mel's a real nutcase. What in the world was I thinking when I created him? Listen, we all make mistakes. Hmm. So Andy Rooney has the temerity to say this about Mel Gibson. And Andy Rooney's just a tired old hack who has other people write jokes for him. He probably didn't even write this. Anyway, it's just disturbing.
Yeah, and but what's his reason for saying that about Mel?
Well, let me see here. What's the reason?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because Mel made a movie that asserts that that the story of Jesus Christ is true.
Historical.
Yeah, maybe that's the only thing I could.
You know, there are a lot of liberals who are so paranoid against Christ that they won't even admit that he's a historical person.
Sure, they don't want to.
The early centuries of the turmoil of Christianity, what it caused in the Roman Empire, all that was make believe. Something.
Yeah, they don't even want to give in on one point. 800-836-9278.
Nope. done.
I know, and we're only at about $2,800.
Hey, Doug. $2,800.
Mm-hmm. Our goal is $4,000. A measly $4,000 by the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
And we need folks to go to KGOV.com. They can click. They can donate. They can order products. What we really need, Bob, is for people to sign up for some of the monthly programs. Sign up to get the monthly videos, the monthly audio albums.
Yeah, that just helps tremendously, and we're counting that toward the goal of the telethon.
Right, and that monthly support goes a long way toward helping the ministry budget so that we can keep this show on the air.
Yeah.
And so that we can do a number, a variety of things that we do to promote the right-wing agenda.
Now, here's the Denver audience has just joined us.
Doug. Hey, Denver.
Joined us this commercial break. In progress.
In progress, yeah.
Right. And if anybody in the Denver audience was ever missed the show, they could just go to on the web at kgov.com
right.
And hear the show. We've got them there archived.
Sure. Download them for free, or you can call us. We'll sell you one.
Yeah, right.
We'll sell you one on audio cassette.
Might as well get it for free, though.
Yeah,
right?
You could just on go the web. On and download it. But so, while you're there, there's a place you can click there to buy the products.
kgov.com.
Right, they can donate.
Right, and... Right. They can help out with the telethon. You can help out if you'd like to. For example, our goal this month is to get $1,000 in monthly support, right. Monthly
basically,
pledges.
We need to increase our monthly support by $1,000 a month.
Yeah. And right now we're at $255.
That's not that great.
And so, you know, if somebody signed up for the monthly Bible study album, they'd get an album every month.
Right.
And that would add $35. That would bring us up to $290.
Yeah. And I mean, these albums are in-depth studies of entire books of the Bible of various topics.
It's fun.
Tremendous. It's... The one album, Genesis, the creation, that right there is worth what you'll pay for the whole year.
Oh.
Easily.
And so, anyway, call us if you'd like to help out with a one-time gift or a monthly pledge or a subscription. Call us 800-8-NYART or go online at kgov.com. All right, we're back. Bob Enyart and Doug McBurney in studio. Let's see, the callers here. We've got a Denver caller and then a South Bend, Indiana.
All right. I think we go Denver.
Yeah, Denver first.
Denver.
So, Dave, speak your mind.
Hey, Doug.
Yes.
Hey, Bob.
Howdy, sir.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Going
great.
Well.
Hey, I was wondering if we could amend the Constitution so I could marry my dog.
I think we could, actually, accurate.
We suggested to the Survivors guys that they go in. You know, they tried to block the doors in San Francisco. They did block the doors.
They did for quite a while there. A
couple days straight.
Yeah.
We suggested they also pick up at a pet store a gerbil and go in and try to marry
a
gerbil.
Now, would these be male gerbils or female gerbils?
Well, you could just claim whatever.
I see. Now, well, I'm just kidding about marrying the dog. I don't have a dog.
Okay.
But I wanted to weigh in on this Passion of Christ thing. I just got back from the movie theater and proudly bought a ticket.
You did already?
Oh, yeah, I'm really psyched for watching it tomorrow. I hope we have a good turnout.
Oh, wow.
Opening night? You're going to see it opening night?
I'm going to see it opening night at the... At the theater near me.
Where? Which theater, if you don't...
What is it called? United Artists Colorado 9.
All right.
It's going to be great.
Well, is it playing at the Continental on I-25 in Hampton?
I do not know.
Because that's the best screen in Denver.
Yeah.
That is the best screen.
That's the big screen.
I wonder if it's there.
You know, I haven't seen a movie in so long. The last movie I saw was Mel
Planet
Gibson.
Of the Apes. The first one.
No, not. But it was Mel Gibson. The Patriot. That's
Patriot.
The last movie I went and saw.
And that was a great movie.
Yeah,
great movie. The liberals hated
it. They hated it
with a passion. Oh. Imagine how much they're going to hate this one.
They're really going to hate it.
They're going to hate it. But you know what, Dave? They're going to be forced to go see it because it's the thing to do.
Right. Yeah.
They have to do it.
Right. And that's how Mel Gibson has successfully positioned this: is you got to go see it if you love it.
Right.
And if you hate it, you've got to
go
see it.
You really got it, yeah.
Boy, exactly. The theater's going to be packed.
Liberals are in trouble. Will you please call in, Dave, and give us a Man in the Street report?
Like a little review of the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would be great. I'd be glad to give it a thumbs up.
Hey, Dave.
Well, you'll have to see it first. But
well, I like the subject matter.
I agree. Yeah, right. And I agree. It's obviously a great movie.
Yeah, even though Jesus was not a real person, he didn't really exist.
Yeah, right. That's what... Yeah, liberals believe, they believe in aliens, a lot of them, but not in Jesus.
So you know what I think, Dave, because I know that on KGov and at KLT that various folks have been following this story for a year and a half, since shooting started.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of controversy about this film.
Controversy.
And I honestly believe that that Mel Gibson never imagined, he may have imagined it, that it would
but
be
not
this,
this
big.
Much.
And you know, the fact that he shot the thing in Aramaic,
this,
he shoots
right?
it in Aramaic and Latin and puts subtitles on it.
It's brilliant.
You know,
I remember the first story I
thought that's insanity. What's
first,
this guy doing? Mel's
first,
off his rocker, I thought.
The first story I read about this movie a year ago was that it's the dialogue is it's in Aramaic, which no one speaks in the world,
right.
with English subtitles. And that Hollywood would never do that. It would have to bomb. It would have to bomb. But then again, somebody said, some expert said, don't write Mel Gibson off.
Someone said that, yeah.
Don't count him out.
Yeah.
And well, it'll be interesting to see how big it
hey,
is.
I want to tell you, and Dave, let me tell you something my wife told me. My wife is, her English is not her native tongue.
Mm.
And she thinks the subtitles were a brilliant idea. Because they force you, instead of just watching the movie and hearing the dialogue, they force you to watch the movie and read the dialogue so that you'll get more of a sense of what's being said and that the words and the dialogue will actually stick in your mind better, she
mm-hmm.
thinks. Especially for
well, yeah.
for people who maybe English isn't their first language. Her father-in-law, who's not, a, or her father, I'm sorry, my father-in-law, who's not a Christian, when the movie comes out in Japan, it'll have
Japanese
subtitles. And he will read the story of the crucifixion of Christ.
Right.
And maybe she thinks that it was just brilliant, whether he did it as a marketing ploy or whether he even realized it. She thinks that he's done a very good service to the gospel.
Praise the Lord.
There's going to be actual Bible verses in there.
Yeah, they're going to have the disclaimer.
They're going to have the warning.
Warning. Will Robbins in their Bible verse up ahead. Just to keep the FCC off their case.
We'll have to send out reels of that to all the theaters. So, you know, a lot of them aren't running trailers. A lot of the theaters, I read that they're not going to be running trailers for the latest Adam Sandler feature because they don't want to offend all the Christians that are going to be there.
Mm.
And so maybe they can run the warning.
And it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
How do you
do Adam Sandler and go from that?
Or a sci-fi movie or anything.
Right.
You know? It just doesn't work. It's the greatest story ever told.
Yeah.
That's right. It's the,
thank you,
it's the battle between good and evil.
Yeah,
amen.
You got that.
Thank
right.
you, Dave.
Well, I'd just like to say to all your listeners to buy the plot.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
It is. It's just brilliant, and I'd advise everyone listening to order it.
Yeah, right. And by the way, if you wanted to order it, folks, you could call 1-800-836-9278. You wouldn't have to come on the air, and we would be happy to sell you a copy of the plot.
All right, Dave and Doug, I'll give you a half hour to cut that out. Thanks, Dave.
All right. God bless you guys.
God bless
you. Wow, now he's fired up about this movie.
Yeah,
that's great.
That is exciting. Me too.
I think some people are going to get saved from watching this movie.
Yeah,
now,
I'd say so.
That might be a stretch.
The Pope might get saved. This movie is going to be evangelistic.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's going to do far more than Mel Gibson ever dreamed.
Yeah, you know, and I saw an interview with him, and I looked in his eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think the guy's a Christian. I really do. Mm. I think Mel's a Christian.
He may be.
I think he is.
But we're unsure because just because you are religious, that doesn't make you a Christian.
Certainly not.
Like Jesus, you know, the Pharisees, the rabbis, the scribes.
They were all very religious. They tithed of their mint and their...
Cumin.
Cumin, yeah.
Yeah, they were, right, totally religious, but they hated God. Now, you know, but they didn't... think they hated God. They didn't act like they hated God.
Right.
But they preferred their own religiosity to humbling themselves before God. And it does seem, Mel Gibson, you know, he's made good movies, but also there's evil movies and there's wicked stuff in some of his movies.
Yeah.
And hopefully he'll learn and grow up, but I don't know if he will.
Well.
Like, for example, he should not make movies with sexual immorality in them.
Right.
That's wrong.
Right.
It's wrong. We don't see it. We don't let our kids see it. We don't rent it. We don't say, oh, it's a great movie. and we just fast forward through that part.
Yeah. Well.
No, we get it from clean films because they edit it out.
Well, Mel has chosen to make his living in Hollywood where, you know, I mean, sex sells in Hollywood.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, but you don't join in.
You don't have to join in, and right. Who knows, maybe, well, I'll get to that later. Let's go to the phone.
All right, in Indiana, South Bend, Craig, speak your mind.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing real well, sir.
Good. This was a little off topic somewhat.
That's all right.
I was listening to one of your Bible study tapes today, Bob, and you mentioned that spot in, I believe it was in, I don't actually know which book it was in the law, that talked about instead of giving your tithes to the temple, that every so often you're supposed to have basically a party with the tithe.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to know where that reference was at.
The tithe feast.
Yeah, the tithe. Now, that is a rather neglected portion of the scriptures.
Talk about neglected Bible verses.
Now, I know that at Denver Bible Church you have done a teaching on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it may be the only documented teaching on this particular passage in Scripture.
In all of Christianity.
In the known universe.
In Deuteronomy 14, God says, Deuteronomy 14, that once a year when you're bringing your tithe to Jerusalem, that you could use the money that you would tithe, not all of it, but use whatever it would cost to throw a party, have a feast, for you and your family, and eat whatever your heart desires. Have a real feast.
Yeah, a party.
Like what we have today for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And you're even supposed to have strong drink. Is that right?
Well, Deuteronomy 14, verse 26 says that you shall spend that tithe money for whatever your heart desires, for sheep, for example, ox, or whatever.
Yeah.
Nice.
Shish kebab,
roast
pork chop. No, not pork chop.
Like say spare ribs.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
cheap
ribs. That's right.
Beef ribs.
Yeah, lamb shank.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And for wine or similar drink, and for whatever your heart desires, and you shall eat before the Lord. You shall rejoice, you and your household. Yeah. And so God says, have a feast like Thanksgiving, and spend your tithe money for it. The money you're going to give to God's ministry,
right?
Because God can afford a meal, I would think.
Yeah, he could spare
a
meal. Oh, yeah.
So we tell people who come to Denver Bible Church once a year, take the money you would use to give to church and have a feast. Not that you have to do that because it's under the law.
No,
because we're not under the law, right? You give freely of a willing heart, cheerfully, but just to remember the principle that God likes to say thank you, and he likes to treat once in a while.
Right. And you know, Craig, that the most important ministry that you have or I have or that Bob has is not our public ministry, but it's the ministry within our family. And God is very pro-family.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't want you to feel like that you have to always give your money to the church and neglect your primary ministry. In fact, he says, look, once a year, focus on your primary ministry. Have a feast with your family. Strengthen your family bond.
And it's on me.
Yeah, on me.
Wow. Yeah, it's really neat. Now, that verse, that is one of the neglected Bible verses.
Big time.
Hey, Craig, have you ever heard that verse quoted in any sermon?
No, no, that's why I had to call to ask the reference for it.
Yeah, see, you can't even find the
thing.
Yeah,
there you go. Thank you, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
All right, take care.
Appreciate the call. Now, where's the show going?
We'll be right back.
Commercial break, live commercial break. And Doug, when we get back on the show, what do we have to remember to do?
We have to address the Pope controversy.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get back to
that. That's right. We'll talk about the Pope when we get back to the show.
But now let's talk about the telethon and the fact that, frankly, Bob, if we're not able to get this monthly support up to the level we need it, this show could go off the air in the next few months.
Well,
it could happen.
Well, it's
I've looked at your books,
stressful.
Bob. I've looked at your books, and I'm telling you, it could happen.
It's stressful. You know, Bob and you're live. We are this ministry that we just keep kicking. Yes. We're like the little engine that could.
Yeah.
We don't give up.
No.
But it's difficult because when you teach like we do out of the Bible, I believe,
yeah.
that homosexuality is wrong.
Whoa, controversial.
Abortion is murder.
Hold on
The
there.
Government should not be educating kids in public
some
schools.
There.
Now, you know, on and on and on.
Yeah.
So many Christians get offended.
Yeah, they do have a tendency to get a little offended at some of the teachings.
Yeah, and so you with each radical position you take.
Biblical, you mean?
Like Christians are supposed to judge. You're not supposed to forgive everybody. And,
right. And
if a woman gets raped and tortured, it's not and killed. It's not because God planned it that way.
Right.
That was God's plan for her life.
Radical ideas.
We
like
stand
that.
Against a lot of Christianity. Teachings that are bad,
right? And we don't
makes
preach.
Us unpopular.
We don't preach tithing either, which doesn't help the situation very
That's
much.
That's right. We're against tithing. You know, any church that teaches tithing, they do get more in the collection plate.
They do pretty well
because people feel guilty, like God won't approve of me if I don't give 10%, and I usually don't, but I give some. Try to,
right?
And so you get more when you teach tithing at Denver Bible Church. We teach don't tithe.
Right. Give freely of a cheerful heart.
Right.
Cheerful
and
spirit.
Pray and ask God, what should I give this week?
So pray about that, folks, and call us at 1-800-836-9278 or go to kgov.com
and tithe to the show, or you're going to hell.
Bob Enyart Live, we're back on the air.
And Doug, that was a joke.
I know, that's why I was laughing.
The tie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That broke me up.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Now, Bob, during the commercial break,
yeah.
we had a call from a distressed caller.
Yeah.
Who said, Bob, you made a comment about the Pope earlier. Could you please clarify?
Okay.
Because she was very offended.
Yeah, that's true.
At the way
and
she might.
Sometimes you shouldn't say things just flippantly and then forget
well,
it.
Well, maybe she may have inferred what you never intended to imply.
Well, I said that you said a lot of people get saved from this Mel Gibson movie.
Right.
And I said, maybe even the Pope. Now, what are you laughing about?
Well, When you said it, I thought it was pretty funny.
Well,
and I wasn't necessarily offended, but I could see how someone might could take that the wrong way.
Okay, well, let's say if you go back 2,000 years, that's what this movie does for us.
Right.
And you have not the Roman Catholic Church, but you had the temple in Jerusalem.
Yeah, with the Sadducees.
It was like the Vatican of its day.
Yeah, the Pharisees were all up in there. The Sanhedrin.
Well, and the priests.
The priests, yeah.
And the high priest, the Caiaphas, the chief priest.
Right.
Right? And so you had God's representation of his religion on earth at that time,
right, the priesthood,
which was the temple.
Yeah, the priesthood and the temple that he had ordained and initiated
right.
and blessed.
Yeah.
It was the body that he had ordained to be his representative.
Yeah, and so who was the leader of the church at that time that Christ came? It was the high priest in Jerusalem. At that time, it had been Annas, a guy named Annas,
right.
who was incredibly evil.
Evil
and
guy.
Then a number of his sons and son-in-laws ended up later to be high priest. And at the time Christ was crucified, it was a guy named Caiaphas, who was the son-in-law of Annas.
Okay.
And Caiaphas was not a believer in God, but he was the head of God's church, which was then, it was a priesthood,
right.
at the temple in Jerusalem. He was the head of it. And so just because you're the head of a church, when you die and you go to Judgment Day and you're at the pearly gates and St. Peter says, why should you get in? And you say, I was the high priest.
Didn't you see the hat?
Right. I was the high priest. Yeah. It's not going to work.
That's not so. So just
it's not going to work. Just because you're the head of a religious organization, it doesn't matter what organization. Look at Solomon. You know, Solomon was so evil. Look at Saul. God chose Saul.
That's right.
To be the king in Israel.
Yeah.
And he started out well and he ended up in hell.
He ended up very badly.
So, I don't know. Is the Pope a Christian?
I don't know.
I know he's a Catholic.
Yeah, he's definitely
a Catholic. I grew up a Catholic, I was an altar boy for years.
Yeah, I thought that automatically got you into heaven.
Well, no. Went 8 years Catholic grammar school. And wanted to start it, got interested in the Bible, went into the rectory where the priests live.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't even, go ahead.
And, And I wanted to study the Bible with them. I brought my Bible, had questions. They were looking for a Bible. They didn't trust mine, whatever it was, King James or whatever. They wanted an approved Bible.
Right.
They didn't have one.
They couldn't find one in
the
rectory.
Four priests. No Bible. Not in their bedrooms, not in the library.
Oh, man.
And so it made me realize that a lot of people who are Catholics are that way because they were born that way, but they don't necessarily love God. They don't love his word. You know, some do, and many don't. It's like Protestant denominations.
Sure.
Some do love God, many don't.
Hey, I sat in front of Episcopal Church in Denver and watched 1,000 people go in, and I never saw a single Bible.
Yeah.
Not in one hand.
Yeah, I believe it. Let's go to Erie, Colorado. Ronnie, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Ronnie.
I just had a quick point.
Yeah.
The reason why these secular humanist liberals are ticked off about this movie is because they thought that they had crushed the Christian majority in this country.
That's a great point.
And that's the reason why they're ticked, because it's coming out with the truth again, and they thought they had gotten rid of the truth, you know, with everything that's going on right now, getting rid of the Ten Commandments out of public display, getting rid of the Ten Commandments out of schools, teaching all this secular humanist stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, what a great point.
And wouldn't it just be poetic justice if Jesus Christ turns out to be the most bankable name in Hollywood in 2004?
It will be. He will be, right?
It will be. I mean, you think about of all the pre-showings that are going, this movie could be one of the highest grossing movies ever.
Yeah, well, I pray that it is. I pray that it is.
That would be great, wouldn't it? And it doesn't have to be. How many movies has Hollywood made about Christ and the life of Christ, good movies that don't blaspheme him? A lot, and they've all been...
You know, there was a movie called The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, the Moses,
right?
Yeah. My wife, who was in Japan, which,
at the time.
You know, at the time, it was huge in Japan when it came to Japan.
Right,
it's huge here.
And
you know what's another good movie? Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth,
right? Yeah.
The greatest story ever told.
Yeah, these movies.
The
do
Robe.
Well.
Oh, that was an apocryphal book. Movie.
On Primetime with Diane Sawyer, when she had the interview with Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Well, and during that whole piece of on that network, they quoted it as saying, the Pope quote is saying, "It is as it was."
Yeah, it is as it was, which is apparently the review he did give it.
Yeah, so I mean, we haven't really seen, because I mean, the Romans did some torturous things, you know, when they crucified people, and we've never really seen it until this movie has been made. Cause,
right, there have been depictions, but today it's acceptable to be more violent and gory than it was in the 60s and 70s.
Right, right. People weren't ready for it, I don't think.
And so
So do you think that there will be a big anti-Italian backlash?
No.
No,
I don't think
everyone's worried about anti-Semitism.
Yeah, right.
You know,
it was the Romans.
Yeah, right. It was the Italians.
And Ronnie, it was the Italians.
Yeah, those Italians.
It was the Romans who crucified Christ. The Jews did not have the authority to put someone to death because they were occupied by Rome.
Right. That's why they go to Pilate to get.
Right. And Pilate was the Roman governor in Jerusalem, who liberals and God haters said there was no Pilate. Then they found an inscription. He did a lot of the building in Caesarea.
Right, right.
He actually became a born-again Christian. Did you know that?
No, you can't say that.
Pontius Pilate?
Yeah, they executed him for it.
Well, you did say it, but you shouldn't. Go ahead. Tell us why you say that.
Well, I mean, I just read it somewhere one time.
It's not true.
It's not true? Oh,
no.
Although we would like it to be true.
Yeah, and if he did get saved, well, praise the Lord. But there's no historical evidence that he got saved.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard that on another radio program when they were talking about that.
Yeah, if that were true, all of Christianity would know the source, the date, the specifics. We would all know.
Oh,
it's too dramatic.
I'm mistaken, then.
Yeah, it's too dramatic to be known just by some AM Christian radio show. Whatever you hear on AM Christian radio.
Well, hold on, Bob. Hold on.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Okay.
Take it easy there, Bob.
All right.
Anyway, just take it with a grain of salt is all we're saying. And search out these things to see if they're so.
They were the people that were there. The Jewish people were there, and the Romans were there. But the one that crucified Christ, we all did.
We all did.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, and I read this, I don't know if it's true, Mel Gibson has a cameo appearance in the movie. He's driving
it's
the nails.
He puts the nail in the hand.
Right,
yeah,
that's his only appearance, is as an anonymous Roman soldier driving the nails, which kind of tells you where Mel's heart is, and I don't think it's against the Jews. I think it's
of course
pro-gospel.
Right.
Well, I heard on the radio earlier on 670, the KLT, the, what I'm listening to, your radio program right now. And they were talking, Jim, what's his name, Jim, the one that played Christ?
James Caviezel.
Yeah.
Caviezel.
Yeah, that name.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce it, but I know what it is. But anyway, he was talking there, and he gave an interview and saying that during the movie, he said there were supernatural things that were happening in the movie.
Well, you know, they say that also about the about Poltergeist
and
1,
Exorcist,
2, and 3.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
so
you could tell that God was there.
Well,
I can.
God
hear.
Was there,
sure.
Okay, but supernatural things. That's another example of what we have to take with a grain of salt.
Yeah, but you know something, Ronnie, is that at the making of this movie, I'm sure that everyone involved was spiritually attenuated and probably perceived
right.
things a lot differently than they do in their typical day-to-day life.
Right, that's
exactly
true.
Yeah.
And when you're focusing on God and you got to get to the chute and your car won't start and you turn the key again, you pray, oh, Lord, I got to get there. You turn the key again, it starts, you think that's a miracle. But it's not a miracle. It happens for Satanists also. They try to start the car, doesn't start,
well,
try
that's,
again,
that's
it
a good
starts.
Point that you made because, I mean, Diane Sawyer, at the end of that piece, she
yeah.
said right at the after the end, what was her own last part of her commentary there, she was talking about how, you know, through this whole process, she said the whole crew and everyone learned a lot about things. You know,
oh.
she didn't really go into detail, but,
right.
you know,
yeah.
it exposes things to people. You know,
yeah,
you
right.
know,
it makes you
forget
think.
Or shun or get away from it.
Yeah, it makes you think. And, you know, that interview he did, how did that compare ratings-wise with Diane Sawyer compared to the Michael Jackson interview? do you know?
Yeah.
You know,
I heard. It blew it away.
Is that right?
It was their number one most highest rated program event of the year.
And what show was that?
For
that's an ABC?
Diane
yeah,
Sawyer.
I have no
prime
idea.
Time.
The
it was
prime
their
time.
It was their number one segment of the year.
Wow.
It lasted the whole hour, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a whole hour.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it.
It was a really good. You could tell he was. He was just. He feel like. I think he's just become born again Christian.
I got the feeling the guy was saved.
He wanted to say things, but he couldn't get the right words. But he felt the Spirit flowing through him, but
yeah.
he just didn't know what to say.
Yeah,
know,
I believe that.
All kinds of questions.
If he was not a Christian, because he's been pro-life.
Yeah, he's known in Hollywood as a conservative, which it doesn't
which
take
is
much out
startling.
There. Yeah.
Right. Right. It doesn't
you
take
know.
Much.
You never know. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if you believe you should wear clothes in public, you're considered a conservative in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this movie could have been the thing to get him making this. You know how I got saved? Now, a lot of people in the audience will no longer believe I'm saved when they say it. When they hear that.
I had my doubts when I heard
the,
this.
The few who think I am saved to start with. The blasphemous movie that we saw off Broadway, my mother and I, when I was 13, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Wow.
And then we bought the soundtrack, and I, you know, when you're a teenager, you play something a thousand times.
Yeah, over and over.
I knew every word, every lyric, every song. And the fact that it was blasphemous completely went over my head.
Wow.
Because I wasn't looking for that. It was focusing me on Jesus Christ. I went to the Bible. I read the Bible. And that year, I became a Christian.
Praise the Lord.
Through Campus Life, Youth
yeah.
for Christ. So, hey, Ronnie, thank you for calling.
All right, and take a heathen
God
to
bless
see
you.
The passion. So, Bob, once this movie comes out and it's
yeah.
big, and Mel Gibson is going to make a lot of money,
yeah.
and he may win an Academy Award.
No, he probably won't, but well, maybe
he may
will.
Very
but
well.
Praise
may.
The Lord, he'll make a lot of money,
and it'll establish this this story even more firmly in the mindset of the public.
Right.
Somebody needs to get a hold of Mel and talk with him about the sequel, because the one thing that. And the Catholics have a tendency to focus on
the crucifixion
too much. But there was
Christ on the cross.
There was a sequel to the Passion.
Yeah, which is the Resurrection.
The Resurrection. And if someone could do that'll
make a good sequel, won't it?
It would. It's a natural.
In fact, it's a trilogy. The Resurrection and then the Second Coming.
Oh, boy.
Could
Mel,
you imagine
and Mel's
the Second Coming with a sword in his hand?
Yeah. Headed for Hollywood. No.
Yeah.
Mel will have the resources
I've seen
to do
the,
it right.
I've seen the trailer, the promo for
oh.
this for the Second Coming.
Oh, really?
I've seen it.
Oh, wow.
You've seen it, too.
Well, yeah.
We were talking on the phone when you saw it. Do you remember 9/11, the tower
oh, yeah.
came down?
That's right.
9/11 was the preview for the end times.
Wow.
This is Bob Inert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.